Once at a public talk in Germany, I drew attention to the growing trend among serious scientists of taking the insights of the world's contemplative traditions into account. I spoke about the meeting ground between my own Buddhist tradition and modern science, especially in the Buddhist arguments for the relativity of time and for rejecting any notion of essentialism. Then I noticed von Weizsäcker in the audience, and when I described my debt to him for what little understanding of quantum physics I possess, he graciously commented that if his own teacher, Werner Heisenberg, had been present, he would have been excited to hear of the clear, resonant parallels between Buddhist philosophy and his scientific insights. Another significant set of issues in quantum mechanics concerns the question of measurement. I gather that, in fact, there is an entire area of research dedicated to this matter. Many scientists say that the act of measurement causes the collapse of either the wave or the particle function, depending upon the system of measurement used in the experiment. Only upon measurement does the potential become actual, yet we live in a world of everyday objects. So the question is, how, from the point of view of physics, do we reconcile our common sense notions of an everyday world of objects and their properties, on the one hand, and the bizarre world of quantum mechanics, on the other? Can these two perspectives be reconciled at all? Are we condemned to live with what is apparently a schizophrenic view of the world? At a two-day retreat on the epistemological issues pertaining to the foundations of quantum mechanics and Buddhist middleway philosophy at Innsbruck, where Anton Zeilinger, Arthur Zajonc, and I met for a dialogue, Anton told me that a well-known colleague of his once remarked that most quantum physicists relate to their field in a schizophrenic manner. When they are in a laboratory and play around with things, they are realists. They talk about photons and electrons going here and there. However, the moment you switch into philosophical discussion and ask them about the foundation of quantum mechanics, most would say that nothing really exists without the apparatus defining it. Somewhat parallel problems arose in Buddhist philosophy in relation to the disparity between our common sense view of the world and the perspective suggested by Nagarjuna's philosophy of emptiness. Nagarjuna invoked the notion of two truths, the conventional and the ultimate, relating respectively to the everyday world of experience and to things and events in their ultimate mode of being, that is, on the level of emptiness. On the conventional level, we can speak of a pluralistic world of things and events with distinct identities and causation. This is the realm where we can also expect the laws of cause and effect and the laws of logic, such as the principles of identity, contradiction, and the law of excluded middle, to operate without violation. This world of empirical experience is not an illusion, nor is it unreal. It is real in that we experience it. A grain of barley does produce a barley sprout, which can eventually yield a barley crop. Taking a poison can cause one's death, and similarly, taking a medication can cure an illness. However, from the perspective of the ultimate truth, things and events do not possess discrete, independent realities. Their ultimate ontological status is empty, in that nothing possesses any kind of essence or intrinsic being. I can envision something similar to this principle of two truths applying in physics. For instance, we can say that the Newtonian model is an excellent one for the common sense world as we know it, while Einsteinian relativity, based on radically different presuppositions, represents in addition an excellent model for a different or more inclusive domain. The Einsteinian model describes aspects of reality for which the states of relative motion are crucial, but does not really affect our common sense picture under most circumstances. Likewise, the quantum physics models of reality represent the workings of a different domain, the mostly inferred reality of particles, especially in the arena of the microscopic. Each of these pictures is excellent in its own right and for the purposes for which it was designed, but if we believe any of these models to be constituted by intrinsically real things, we're bound to be disappointed. Here I find it helpful to reflect on a critical distinction drawn by Chandrakirti, 7th century CE. In relation to the domains of discourse that pertain to the conventional and the ultimate truths of things, Chandrakirti argues that when formulating one's understanding of reality, one must be sensitive to the scope and parameters of the specific mode of inquiry. For example, he argues that to reject distinct identity, causation, and origination within the everyday world, as some interpreters of the philosophy of emptiness have suggested, simply because these notions are untenable from the perspective of ultimate reality, constitutes a methodological error.